Anyway, moving forward, speaking of Brazil, you may have heard, Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff has extended her lead ahead of Sunday's election and would win re-election in a likely second-round runoff, while her main challengers are almost tied for second place. That, according to polls being released yesterday, environmentalist Marina Silva has continued to slip and is now only 3 percentage points ahead of the so-called centrist candidate Aiseo Neves. That, according to the Datafolha polling firm, a statistical tie because it's within the poll's margin of error, Rousseff has advanced to within 3 percentage points of an outright victory in the first round of voting, or 47% when spoilt and blank ballots are excluded. So if no candidate wins a majority on Sunday's elections, the elections will be decided in a runoff between the two leading candidates on October 26th. This comes as another report came out. This is a report from the Center for Economic and Policy Research. They put out a report earlier this week talking about how Dilma Rousseff would win Brazil's presidential re-election, and part of it has to do with the fact that the country continues to get, one of the words they're using is, it has been transformed over the last, we can say, 10, 15 years, certainly over the years in which the Workers' Party of Brazil has run the country, which is an interesting terminology to say that so many Brazilian lives have been transformed by the leadership of the Brazilian Workers' Party. Well, I had questions about that, and we wanted to talk and find out about that as we look at what's happening in one of the biggest countries in the Americas. And I spoke yesterday with Maria Luisa Mendonça, who is the coordinator of the Network for Social Justice and Human Rights in Brazil. She's a professor of international relations at the University of Rio in Brazil. And I asked her first to respond to the latest numbers coming out in the polls.
There was a lot of dramatic events around this election, because first of all, the candidate that was supposed to run, Eduardo Campos, got killed in an airplane accident just a few months ago. And Marina Silva was supposed to run for vice president in his ticket. But after his death, Marina Silva became very popular. And that could be because of all the outcrying and emotion around the accident with Eduardo Campos. But now I think that after a few months, Marina Silva has contradicted herself in many situations, and also is clear, it becomes more clear that she also has strong connections with financial capital, big business. So her history of being an environmental activist is also not helping at this point because of her own contradictions and support for agribusiness, for neoliberal policies. So I think that's why now we see Dilma Rousseff leading again for a good difference, because I think the other candidates are not showing that they have a very different approach and a very different program.
I want to talk about Silva, the opposition candidate, who's again, as you said, very often presented as this environmental justice advocate, but also with connections with not only financial capital and corporate interests, but also has been described by some media sources as having some conservative and right-wing alliances that could perhaps be troubling, especially given the recent trajectory of Brazilian politics. But I first want to talk about the track record, if you will, of the current president, Dilma Rousseff. What has been the record of Dilma Rousseff?
Well, I think Dilma gave continuity to some policies that started with the Lula government that were very popular, like the Bolsa Família, which is giving support to poor families and keeping children at school. So I think that is, in some ways, a more social base for Dilma, since she decided to continue, for the most part, with the policies that made Lula very popular. Although she also had been the minister for energy and mining. And now in Brazil, we see the construction of huge dams in the Amazon, large mining projects, and that is also very controversial. So I think in the case of all candidates, there are several contradictions. But I think Dilma, in terms of the situation and the political context right now, Dilma is probably the candidate that has closer connections with social movements and is more progressive. Because, as you said, Marina Silva became very close to conservative sectors of the evangelical church. So she made some very horrible remarks around, for instance, gay marriage, very discriminatory remarks. And the other candidate, the third one, Aécio Neves, is very conservative and neoliberal and connected to the most conservative and right-wing sectors of the Brazilian society. So, you know, if you put that in context, I think Dilma Rousseff is still the most progressive candidate.
Let me remind the listeners that we're speaking with Maria Luisa Mendonça, who is the coordinator of the Network for Social Justice and Human Rights and a professor of international relations at the University of Rio in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And we're speaking about the forthcoming elections on Sunday, the first round of the presidential elections. You know, speaking of the track record of President Rousseff, the Center for Economic Policy and Research, CEPR, which publishes reports about economic development and social policy around the region. They released a report on Sunday about the performance of the Brazilian economy and the macroeconomic, I guess we could say, track record of the president. And they say that the country has, in many ways, they use the word transformed, has been transformed in the last you know, several years of the current government. The report actually talks about tens of millions of Brazilians having been transformed. They point to issues of poverty. They point to issues of economic growth. I read that with skepticism, but Mark Weisbrot says that this has to do with a lot of different shifts in the political and fiscal and monetary and indeed industrial policy of the governments of the last decade or so. What are your thoughts about that? Is it too much of a term, kind of a glowing term, to say that the lives of so many Brazilians have been transformed?
Well, there is still a lot of inequality in Brazil. The level of inequality is huge. Brazil is one of the most unequal countries in the world in terms of distribution of wealth. Although it's true that some of the policies implemented in the last decade have helped Brazilian people who were very, very poor to gain a little more rights in terms of access to food and access to education. So there was more investment in social programs, although in general, the government didn't change the way the economic policies work in terms of continuing giving huge subsidies to big business, big mining, agribusiness. So the country, still our economy is based on raw materials for export. So what the country did, for instance, right after the international economic crisis in 2008, was to give more subsidies to certain industries, for instance, the car industries, and to allow people to buy cars in with more credit, to easy credit lines for individuals, in addition to increasing the public debt in Brazil, which is a mechanism that all countries use right now, including the United States. Because the thing is, with the current economic system all over the world and the power of financial capital, the countries themselves cannot make very big changes. Usually the changes have to do with changing a little bit the currency rates, the exchange rates, and the amount of credit and how this credit will be paid off later, the interest rates. So that's what the country did. That's what mainly Dilma continued to do, to decrease interest rates. So that would stimulate more investments on production, as opposed to speculation, financial speculation. But currently, there has been more pressure from private banks to increase interest rates again. And that is this whole talk about inflation, that the previous economic policy was stimulating inflation. So the vulnerability, the economic vulnerability, is still there, as in all countries around the world, because of the way financial capital circulates internationally.
As we wrap things up, Maísa Mendonça, if you can tell us the reaction or the position that the social movements in Brazil have, how they're looking at these upcoming elections. I saw the letter that was put forward to the two primary candidates by the MST, the Landless Workers Movement, and there is some considerable concerns being raised. Could you address those in the last moments that we have together?
Yes, some of the main concerns are the continuing support of the government to agribusiness, to monocropping for export, the human rights violations against indigenous peoples and peasants in Brazil. So if the country doesn't change the concentration of land, and if the projects, the economy is still based on large infrastructure projects, mining and agribusiness, then we're still going to see environmental destructions and human rights violations in the countryside, but also in urban centers. We have seen huge protests of the homeless movement in Brazil with a lot of police repression. So there is still a lot of inequality in the country, and that's what the social movements are demanding from all candidates, to address those issues.
Mm-hmm. What do you expect to happen on Sunday?
Well, I think probably Dilma Rousseff is going to win, because she has more support from the social base, the workers. I think that she is less identified with being connected to the elites, the bankers, big business, but she needs to respond now to the demands of social movements, who probably are going to support her against other candidates that are more conservative. So hopefully she's going to have a more progressive government if she gets elected starting next year.
And we were speaking with Maria Luisa Mendonça, who is the coordinator of the Network for Social Justice and Human Rights in Brazil. She's a professor of international relations at University of Rio in Brazil.